We're in the seventh on our prayer series of the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, of course, could also be especially called the Disciples' Prayer. This morning, we're going to give God the glory. Let's read together the scriptures from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. I've had it in all different translations for us to understand and get a different perspective or shade of meaning. This morning, let's read it from the King James. In Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now remember, the context is the disciples come and ask Jesus, how should we pray? Because they observed in him the real deal. The contrast in their day was those Pharisees and those who would stand on the street corners and blow a trumpet before they gave their alms or gifts to charity, and they'd pray very loudly, but it wasn't to the heart of God. It was for people to see them. Instead, Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way. Number one, pray with a real relationship. Our Father God, our Father who art in heaven. It all begins with relationship with him. Secondly, it goes to praise. Hallowed be thy name. We praise him because he's so worthy of praise. Your dad sees you, he knows you, he hears you, he understands you, he feels your heartbreak, your rejoicing times, your times of sorrow and grief, your times of rejoicing. Your father knows you. So what we want to do is give him praise. He is worthy of all our praise. Come on, say it with me. God is my father. Begin with that real heart of relationship. And then secondly, begin by praising him. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed, wonderful, glorious, mighty, marvelous. The name of Jesus is the only name that can heal. The name of Jesus is the only name that can save. The name of Jesus brings life and hope and resurrection. Come on, church, it's the name of Jesus. Isn't he worthy of our praise? He says, come on, you begin by going to your Father, and then you just begin to worship him and thank him and praise him. Because when you want to communicate with God, what is prayer? They asked him, how do we pray? He said, come on, come with relationship and come with praise. Even those who are in the most difficult of situations here this morning have been blessed by being able to still yet be alive. You've been blessed by sitting in a mostly warmed room because some people scramble to get you heat. We've been blessed to live in this area, blessed to have this freedom. We're not hiding out meeting in an underground service today. We're above ground worshiping Jesus because he's worthy and we're blessed. Number three, pray his kingdom comes in you and me, in me and in you. Come on, say it with me, Lord. Bring your kingdom in me. He says, pray that his kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what I want most of all is that your perfect will be done. You know, come on, church, we're here. We've all messed up. Aren't you glad for the grace and mercy of God? Aren't you glad there's a verse that says, great is thy faithfulness, his mercies are renewed every day? Anybody need his mercy this morning? Yeah. I should see every hand in the room go up. Every toe should go up. I need your mercies every day. Now, when I pray, Lord, bring your kingdom, you understand that you are saying, Jesus, you are therefore the king of this kingdom. You're the owner. We were speaking with a minister just the other day, and in what would normally be typically seen as a really sold out, solid church. And the minister was telling us that they were in a Bible study and they were talking about ownership. And some longtime attenders looked up and said, well, nobody owns me. And that teacher stopped and said, no, wait a minute. When you gave your life to Jesus, you transferred ownership back to him. And there was a struggle and a wrestling match. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, when you gave your life to Jesus, you said, "You're the owner, I'm the loner. I'm just a steward of this life and what I have because you've given it to me. But Lord, my life is yours. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go where you want me to go, do what you want me to go, say what you want me to say. I want to act more like you. Come on, I'm not the only one, right? Lord, I know I need to act more like you because you're the owner and I'm not. Every day I have is a gift from God. Every day you have is a gift from God. Number four, you're the provider. You're the provider. Give us this day our daily bread. The natural needs. Lord, we know you're the only one who can meet them. Yes, thank God we have a job or we have a retirement or we have the gifts and capabilities, though, that gave you the opportunity to do that job comes from the Lord. You're our provider, Lord. Number five, forgive. You know, you're going to have a tough time sensing any forgiveness in your own life if you hold on to unforgiveness with anybody else. Isn't it true? You let people out of prison and you let yourself out of prison. People that we have, people, so often we get upset at people and they don't know a thing about it. And we go on and on and on with this attitude of upset and, oh, frustration. They don't know anything. They're walking around scot-free and happy. And you look over their way and go, "Why are you so happy?" Because they don't know you got problems with them. Stop having the problem. Open up your heart and say, "Lord, I forgive. I let them out of prison, but in so doing, I let myself out of prison." May I say one other thing about this? You start it. Start it. Don't wait for them to come to you. You start it. We need to start it. No holier than thou, I ain't forgiving you until you come. The Bible says, if they repent, then forgive them. Well, it does say that, but he also says, but you know, Peter, because remember Peter said, how often do I have to forgive? Seven times? Like, this is ridiculous. And Jesus said, exponentially more than that, Peter. 70 times seven. Because if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Let's let each other out of prison. Give Jesus and his forgiveness away. We learned that lesson in number six. We learned that you pray that he keeps you from testing and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So keep me from evil, Lord. Be my strength. And Lord, what it really means there is rush me out of temptation. When I come into times that are tests and times that are tempting, Lord, please don't lead me there. Lead me not into a temptation. But if I get there, lead me, rush me out. The whole Greek word, the whole tenor of that verse means let him pick you up and rush you out of there safe in his presence and in his arms. Why do we pray all this? Because remember, the disciples, just like you and me, they look around at big fancy prayers and they go, I can't do that. Jesus, teach me how to pray. You're the guy up on the mountain all night talking to God and your Father hears you. And Lord, I believe it was a really sincere prayer, don't you? Lord, teach us how to pray. We don't know what to do. And he says, take this heart to your Father. Take this heart to your Father. But why? Why do we want to pray? Why do we want to pray how he wants us to? Why? Because in all things in our life and our thoughts and our attitudes and in our actions, in every aspect and element of our life and being, in every moment we take breath yet on this earth, in every waking moment and sleeping moment, in every moment I've got left, oh God, in my life, in everything, I want you to get the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And Billy Graham gave right to his dying moment, his life for the Lord. Then he ushered right into seeing Jesus. And he goes into eternity. Just like you and me. It's not he's a better man. He just beat us there. But he did give his life daily in service to the King, just like we do. Because, Lord, I want to give you all the glory. Do you know that every bit of life is going to rise up and conclude in this crescendo? Come on, church, say it with me. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All of life is going to finish in this giant crescendo. Myriads and myriads and multitudes, when you go to the book of Revelation, standing before Jesus in heaven, casting their crowns at His feet, and they say, oh God, all blessing, all honor, all glory, it belongs to You. Amen. You've taken care of healing and life and delivering. You've saved people and You've changed the earth. And oh God, You let us be on earth for a while, but now we have all eternity to come and give You all our praise. Yeah. You deserve the glory, the honor. There's no one like You, Lord. Hebrews 9 tells us in verses 27 and 28, it's appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Look, I know I'm not telling you something you don't know, but every single person in this room, including me, we're all going to die someday in this life. But we live forever with Him. And because we're all going to have an opportunity to stand face to face with our Maker, we will see Him face to face. And when we do, and if He looks at you, heard a preacher just say it again this morning on television, and He says to you, why should I let you come into my heaven? It won't be because you were a good Boy Scout or Brownie. It won't be because you got a college education or didn't. It won't be because you didn't cheat on your taxes. Or it won't be because of anything you've done. It'll all be because Jesus, the Son of God, shed His blood for me. And He's washed me clean and He's forgiven me. And oh, Father, I get to come in because of what Your Son has done. And He will say, welcome home. Welcome home. So Christ was offered once to bear the sin of many. To those who eagerly await for Him, He'll appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Take a look at the passage. What does that mean? Every human being is appointed to die once and then to face God's judgment. But when we die, and when it happens, are you ready? When we die, we will be face to face with Christ, the one who experienced death once for all to bear the sins of many. Now, to those who eagerly await Him, I love that. Are you eagerly waiting for Jesus? To those who eagerly wait Him, Lord, I can't wait. Lord, I want to wait. I don't want to go today, but I'm waiting to see You. Have you ever had something you were eager to see? Maybe mothers on the birthing table were eager to see the little one. Get out of there, but come and see me. Come on! Or maybe you were waiting to see somebody really important to you. They've been away for quite some time, and you look forward to seeing them. Had my sons come to my house, to our house this year, and spend a little time. It was quick, but you know, there's something inside my heart. Hey, they're coming. They're coming. And then when they go, thank you, love you. Bye-bye. No, but you look forward to their coming. And do you eagerly wait to see Jesus? Eagerly wait for Him. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring us the fullness of salvation. Every single one of you in this room have a destiny, a destination. There is an ultimate end game to our lives. Your eternity is waiting. Again, if you've given your life to Jesus, you have a forward-looking expectancy. There's a positive hope. There's a vibrant hope. There are people all around us in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our state, in our nation, around this earth that don't have a forward-looking hope. They're terrified to die. And we get to, in the remaining breaths that we have, try to do our best to share Jesus with them. Bring them to the Lamb of God. Bring them so they know if you die, you're going to go see Jesus. And there's a confident assurance knowing that you're saved. So, we're being transformed to be like Him now. In His kingdom. Lord, Thine is the kingdom. Yours is the dominion. Yours is the control. You are the one in charge. The titans. Now listen carefully to me. The titans of industry. The titans of technology. The titans of business and economy. They will all bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. Lord, You're coming back as conquering King, the one in charge. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Maybe some of you have heard this story as well. Elvis Presley, while he was still alive, was, people liked to call him the King of Rock and Roll. And he was in a concert, and some lovely young ladies were in the back, and they unfurled this very long banner that said, Elvis is the King. And he stopped the concert, pointed to them, and he said, put that sign down. There's only one King. His name is Jesus Christ. Stunned everybody in the crowd. I wish he'd lived more in that acknowledgement. But that reality probably did more for anybody in that concert than any song he sang. There's only one King. Listen, there's another set of good newses. We've all heard the terrible things about Justin Bieber. Do you know Justin Bieber has come off of the road because he really surrendered his life again to Jesus Christ? And he couldn't stand the way that they were forcing him to go. And I read a story about 2 weeks ago by the pastor of the Hillsong Church in New York. A lot of these young stars have given their lives to Jesus, and he mentors them. And that pastor got a call, true story, from Justin Bieber, who said, I got to get baptized, pastor. I need to get water baptized. Okay, Justin, when do you want to do it? Now. It was 3 a.m. And that pastor, they didn't have their own church, they other facilities, he called and called and called till a star that wouldn't be identified said, come on over right now, we'll do it in our swimming pool. And Justin Bieber at 3 a.m. went over and got water baptized because he surrendered his life to the Lord. Is he perfect? No. We look around and we demand and expect Christians in the public arena to be perfect. They're not perfect. They're simply saved by grace. And I don't care if they're in politics, economics, business, it doesn't matter what it is. Let our expectancy be they're saved by grace just like we are. Let's pray for them. Yes. Thine is the power. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Thine is the kingdom. Number two, thine is the power. I jumped around a little bit, but thine is the power. The power of sin is destroyed. The power of death is destroyed. The sting of death is destroyed. Hell itself is reserved for the devil and his demons. It's not where we're supposed to be going. It's not where people are supposed to be going. That's why we share Jesus with every breath we've got and the remaining time we've got. Please, somebody say amen. When you surrender your life to Jesus and ask Him to be Lord and Savior, when you give up and give to Him all control in your life, church, He's got the power. Every demon in hell has to flee before the name of Jesus. If you're harassed and bothered by demons who have given you trouble and turmoil, say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out. And the Bible says that demon must flee. In the name of Jesus, because Jesus has all the power. Death couldn't hold Him. He's alive now. Come on, I said, He's alive now. Say it with me, boom it out. He's alive now. He rose from the dead. If you're sold out and you believe in Jesus, when you die, you know exactly where you're going. 1 Corinthians 15. Watch how He deals with the power. 51 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Behold, we quote this at funerals. It's a verse for us to remember who are yet living. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, the word for death in the scriptures, but we shall all be changed. The nice thing, by the way, about that introduction of the word sleep is the reality is life continues in one direction or another. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And those who refuse Jesus Christ will end up condemning themselves to hell. We labor that they will come to know Jesus. We shall all be what? What shall we be?
Changed.
Come on, boom it out. We shall be
changed
in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Come on. But thanks be to God. Boom it out with me again. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Paul taught Corinthians who had come from every background, every sin imaginable in the seaport city, teeming with people who loved to go in every sex house and every kind of addiction and every kind of thing. And they came streaming out of those houses of sin and into the arms of Jesus as Paul preached, and they surrendered to him. But then undoubtedly they had the same kind of questions you and I have. Oh Lord, what's going to happen when I die? And I've got loved ones who have died. What happens? And Paul looks at him, he goes, you're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That body that decays, the illness we feel, the pains we have. Anybody wake up with pains this morning? Come on, we believe in healing. What's wrong with you? We're just getting a little older is what's happening. The pain you had this morning, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You're going to be healed forever. You're going to be able to walk with Jesus and sing and see your loved ones. And some of you have people who've gone on before who are waiting to see you and welcome you in. And you get to see them and you get to say, wow, what's it like? And they'll look at you and go, oh man, it's great. You look at them and say, how long you been here? They go, I don't know. Eternity's forever. I just can't get a grip on how long it's been. Been here a long time now. As they welcome us in the presence of Jesus, and Paul tells us as disciples, you're going to be changed, and death no longer has a sting. The power of death is gone because thine is the power. And three, the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. As we take, we cast our crowns at his feet. The radiance of Jesus, the Bible says, the light is the Lamb. The Lamb is the light thereof, as in the holy city, as you look to the book of Revelation. We join with angels and myriads of believers who have gone before us, and we worship him forever. Billy Graham used to say he was going to take his golf clubs. We're not going to sit around, just sit on a cloud and sing choruses all day long. There's work for us to do and things. I don't know what it's going to be like, but you know, it's not going to be some boring little place people don't want to go to. It's going to be a great, fantastic, wonderful time in the presence of God. In Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. Revelation 22:5, there will be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 5:13, please read out loud with me, church. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The Bible tells us there's not going to be any more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more anguish, no more pain, no more sickness. It's all gone because we get to shine forever in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't get excited about Jesus living with him now and living with eternity, then you're still dead. You need to come and get saved this morning. Because he loves you so much. Andre Crouch had an old chorus. Maybe some of you remember it. It went like this. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I said, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And he said, no more crying there, we are going to see the King. I said, no more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. And you know what? There is no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Jesus, we love you.
Yes, amen.
And we're looking forward to seeing you. Now, we don't necessarily want to go there today, but you know, we're looking forward, eagerly looking forward to see you face to face. Let me finish with just one more story. I preacher told it this morning. I want you to know I don't get my notes from the TV ministers, okay? But it's interesting how many times the Lord is speaking a theme. And this morning, there seemed to be a consistent theme about heaven. And I turned to Sherry, didn't I? Pastor Sherry, I turned to you and I said, I didn't call her Pastor Sherry at home. You understand that? I didn't turn to her and say, but I turned to her and I said, isn't it interesting? I'm going to be talking about heaven this morning. And it was consistent. There was a man who served for 40 years on a mission field in Africa. Hot days, sweltering days, and thankless cold nights. And he never saw the fruit like we see nowadays in some ministries. 1 million people come to Jesus. He didn't see that kind of fruit. But after 4 decades, it was time to go home, back home to the Midwest of the nation. And he got on board his ship. And on that ship, as he made his way home, also was President Teddy Roosevelt. As they came into New York, thousands of people were at the dock. Flags were flying and bands were playing and people were cheering to see President Teddy Roosevelt. Cheering, welcome home, President Roosevelt. And not one person was there to meet this man. Not one. Made his transition to his train, feeling dejected, discouraged. And while he was on the train riding home, the Lord, the story said, spoke nearly audibly to him. I heard a whisper in his ear. And the Lord said these words to him, "You're not home yet. You're not home yet." Because when we see him face to face, there'll be myriads of angels, and there'll be believers, and there'll be family members. They'll be saying, welcome home. and the flags and the Spirit will be unfurled, and they'll be flowing and they'll be flying. And most of all, we will see the one we've given our life to. We'll see Jesus face to face, and we'll come and we'll bow and we'll say, oh Lord, no matter what happened in this life, no matter what happened on earth, I've come to see the King. For Lord, no matter what, thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory.
Yes.
To you be all the praise. In Jesus' name. And they all said,